Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, no matter how hard they try. And they are trying, which brings me to the point. I ask all of you watching this today, please bookmark HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. On the top is a banner link to Hagman Report Live, which is it's a link to where all of our videos are. Now, I ask you one more favor, if you don't mind. Two things. Please subscribe to our feed on Rumble. Okay, now, even though you bookmark Hagman Report Live, I get that. There are times, I'll just say it this way. We like double redundancy, or we like redundancy and even double and triple redundancy. But you're by subscribing. Now we've got 175,000 plus. We had a quarter million subscribers on YouTube, and then they took off chunks of 10,000, 15,000, and it got us down to 175,000. Kind of like the voting machines, all right? So anyway, so I would like all of the 170, well, actually all of the quarter of a million subscribers that we had on YouTube to follow us on Rumble, to subscribe to our Rumble feed. Now, by subscribing, that doesn't mean that you are going to be spammed or anything like that. No. Just when a new video goes up, you'll be notified. You will. I know it's shocking. There it is there. We will be posting the direct link. Well, I'll be posting the direct link to our Rumble account on HagmanReport.com. That way you can just click and click and bada bing, bada bang, it's done. Corn Pop, he was a bad dude, you know?
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
Eric the Tech, he's, you know, which brings me to my next announcement. Eric the Tech, I don't know how many of you know this, he's married to my daughter, Jackie, and she is just a wonderful, oh, man. It's my baby. Okay. Now, Eric, apparently Eric had his way with her. I'm telling you. I mean, I put Eric through a background check. I fed him fingerprinted, photographed. I actually put him through a lie detector. This is before when he began dating my daughter.
Waterboarding.
That was going to be next, but
anyways,
yeah. Well, they already have a handsome young boy, okay, and actually two handsome young boys, okay, because of a blended marriage thing, but two very 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 just fabulous young boys. Well, guess what? This week, around Thanksgiving, sometime, we don't know the date yet, because it's obviously you don't know, they're going to have a baby girl. We don't have any canned applause. That's all right. We can clap to ourselves. Anyway, now having said that, that's going to, because Eric the Tech, he's responsible for all of this, okay? Everything you see, all of this. He's gonna need some time off, because here's some things. I'm not gonna get into it, but he's gonna need some time off. So we're not gonna have a regular show on Wednesday, on Thursday and Friday of this week. And we're gonna be off all of next week from regular shows. Now that doesn't mean you're not gonna be hearing from me. It just means the regular show is going to be put on hold while Eric the Tech, who's overworked anyway, threatened to strike, I know, is going to be on maternity leave, or paternity leave, to be more precise. So, but that's okay, because we're going to be coming through loud and clear anyway. And the third thing, so just know that. So Wednesday off of our regular show.
And that's due to just Thanksgiving.
Okay, yeah.
We're just taking some time off.
Yes, because, and I'll tell you this, all right. What you see here is everything that you see, all of the infrastructure was built by Eric the Tech, all of the everything that I've got. I mean, I've not done anything. Rumble accounts, all these redundancies, all of the IP stuff, ISP stuff, PI, I do the PI stuff. But all of that's been done by Eric the Tech. So we're going to give him some well-needed time off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, next week, again, Monday through Friday, that's something different. He's going to be most likely, you know, while my daughter's over there shredding newspapers, getting ready to drop. That was kind of bad. You know what I mean. He's going to be handling things at home because there's a lot of things going on there. And again, he's going to be helping me in the background bring forth a product, but not this product. It's going to be exciting nonetheless. All right. Got it? So go to HagmanReport.com and bookmark that website and subscribe, please, to Rumble and Parler. Douglas Hagman on Parler. And I did that because when I post to Parler, that represents both mine and the show's opinions. All right. I want to keep Hagman Report a little pristine at the, from my opinions, because my opinions are, I've been told by my wife, are somewhat abrasive. All right.
Yeah. If you want to follow Doug, follow his personal accounts. Period.
That's right, because Hagman Report does not, believe me, just do that. Also, Wisconsin Christian News. Folks, Wisconsin Christian News, as we enter into this dark winter, I wonder what that means, you're going to want a hard copy of Wisconsin Christian News. Go to wisconsinchristiannews.com and sign up or subscribe to Wisconsin Christian News. But do more than that. Please do more than that. Donate, because by subscribing, you're just keeping the paper. That just covers the cost of printing, covers the cost of shipping. It doesn't really, and minimal payroll. And I mean, by minimal, I mean, so donate if you can. All right. That's WisconsinChristianNews.com. They let me write in there. So, that's not bad. Now, real quick, John Moore is with me today. I know last week we had Brandon House. So what happened last week was this. Brandon House featured that show on his platform. Okay. So, I don't know. Do you get that? Okay. So it appeared on Hagman Report, but it was also on Worldview Weekend. You see that? I'm pushing that up so you know. That's why we had that's why we did what we did with Brandon House. And Brandon House brought Mary Fanning on to talk about all of the voting irregularities, specifically Hammer Scorecard and the knowledge that was imparted to Brandon from Mary Fanning and Lieutenant General McInerney and some others. Okay, now, real quick as well, you'll notice that Sidney Powell separated, or the Republican business interests, I should say, and I use the word specific, Republican business interests. Yesterday, President Trump put out through Jenna Ellis, put out a statement saying that the Trump campaign is, that Sidney Powell is not part of the Trump campaign legal team. Okay. The reason that happened, and you know, look, maybe I would have done it differently because it created some bad optics there. But according to information I got, the reason that was done, that was with Sidney Powell's advanced knowledge But the reason it was done is because you've got, you've got the GOP, the Republican Party, being dependent upon big major donors in Wall Street for support. Yeah, that's true. But the President Trump, the small donor list, the group of people who support President Trump, not with the GOP or a subset of the GOP, actually outshadowed the RNC list. So think of it this way. You're a Republican, so you vote in the primary for President Trump. You're a Republican, you vote in the general for President Trump. The Republicans have, if you donate to the RNC, or if you are a Republican, the Republicans have your name on the list. And then if you donate, the Republicans really have your name on the list. But then there's the President Trump list. Well, that list overshadowed the GOP list. This is nothing more than a separation of monetary interests. It's not a separation of ideology. It may be a separation of tactics as well. But it really, I saw the way it went out. And again, it's bad optics. Maybe it could have been worded differently, but nonetheless, that's all it is. And I find it very interesting that Sidney Powell was banned on Twitter, immediately banned on Twitter. When I say banned, a 12-hour timeout. Okay. Right after this broke. And that's the way these liberal fascist bastards roll. Okay. Sorry if it offends you, but that's the way they roll. So she couldn't come out and say everything's good. Now she had to go through General Flynn's people to say, look, it's all good. It's all fine. But you're going to find yourself, you, the listener and the viewer, and I'm telling you this ahead of time. If you haven't found this already, you're going to find yourself in this vacuum of social media, big tech censorship. Because when I tell you, and John's coming with John, when I tell you that, Bill Gates, yeah, that guy, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, CTCL, I'm going to be talking about this. Have you heard of the CTCL before? Center for Tech and Civic Life. Oh, you haven't? Well, now I'm going to bring John on, and I want to, with his permission, there's two things I want to do. I want to get into CTCL, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, which happened to donate more to the battleground areas than the Democratic Party. We're talking about roughly $450 million to assist government in turning out the vote in jurisdictions that he himself selected and that the monies given were required to be used by the city governments in the manner that he decided for the radical communist left. Remember that term, or remember that name, Center for Tech and Civic Life. Or I'm sorry, did I say Bill Gates? Not Bill Gates. Mark Zuckerberg. What am I saying? I apologize. Mark Zuckerberg. Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg, Center for Tech and Civic Life. That's right, Faces of Death book. You got it. All right. Yeah. Right off this Monday show with Sam Andrews, and always a pleasure to have, and just a wonderful, gracious, professional guy, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's his website, thelibertyman.com, John Moore. John, thank you for having patience as I went through that housekeeping.
Great monologue, Doug. Thank you. Good morning. Good
morning. How you doing, man?
If I did any better, it wouldn't be legal. How about yourself, sir?
Same here, man. I'll tell you what, I feel good. I'm rested. I'm ready to kick some butt.
A Well, first of all, I appreciate your explanation of what happened over the weekend with Sidney Powell and the legal team. I consider myself very blessed and fortunate that I spent 1 hour face-to-face, one-on-one, with Sidney Powell in Dallas, Texas. We were both speakers at an event down there. I think you might have been supposed to have been there, too, but you didn't show up. But this woman...
Sounds like me.
I'll tell you, Doug, being in the careers that we've had, we mostly work with attorneys. And since 1972, I've probably worked with 500 different attorneys. Some, I wonder if they got their law degree by mail order. Others include a former Missouri Supreme Court justice, some brilliant lawyers, and a lot of mediocre lawyers. Doug, I'll tell you, you do not want to go up against Sidney Powell in any legal matters as opposing counsel. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. She first came to public attention, not quite 2 years ago when she took over defense of General Flynn and turned that whole thing upside down and backwards to achieve close to a good outcome. It's headed that way. We've had some knucklehead judges that don't know how to do the right thing for the right reasons, but she's going to prevail. And what happened over the weekend, I think, may end up strengthening the president's position. And I fully believe, I don't have any evidence, that Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani will continue working behind the scenes to achieve mutual goals. It would just make sense for them to do that, even though they're not officially on the same legal team. We will prevail. We will prevail. It may come down to the Supreme Court making a decision. It may come down to the House of Representatives making a decision. But it is, a decision will be made. We have the Electoral College voting on December 14th, which is less than 3 weeks away. Doug, a week goes by and we don't talk to each other. Things are dramatically different from 1 week to the next. I did watch the entire press conference last week with Giuliani and Sidney Powell and the others.
Yeah, so did I. What did you think of that, man?
I was elated. I was joyful. Rudy Giuliani spent a lot of time chewing out the media for their lies and picking up and holding the evidence in his hand, the evidence in the form of sworn affidavits, which you and I've taken hundreds of these myself personally. I'm sure you've done the same thing.
Yeah, video.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what a sworn affidavit is, it's a legal document that the affiant is the person giving the affidavit, swears under oath that he or she is giving truthful information under penalties of perjury and possibly being prosecuted for committing a crime if they have in fact lied. This is serious stuff. And the sworn affidavit will stand up in court as evidence. They have more than 200 affidavits. That was as of Thursday. I wouldn't be surprised, Doug, if that number hasn't doubled already to 400 to 500, maybe even 600. With the team of lawyers they got, with what Sidney describes as a fire hose of information coming in, people wanting to spill their guts and reveal what they know about the election fraud, the election deception, the election crimes. I'm working with a group, it's two women, Ann and Anita. They're affiliated with the Beagle Eagle Forum in St. Louis. They're raising money to pay as rewards for people who give information leading to the arrest and conviction of people who have committed election fraud. The Attorney General of Texas has put up a $1 million fund for the same purpose, to pay out rewards for people giving information leading to the arrest and conviction of people involved in election fraud. I'm not aware of this ever happening in a prior election. Are you, Doug?
No.
Rewards for deception?
No, but easy money, to say the least, or easy pickings, I would say. No, I'm not aware of anything like that before. But then again, I'm not aware of
there's no precedence for what we're experiencing.
Right, right.
It simply doesn't exist. It's another piece of smoking gun evidence is the instruction manual that comes with Dominion software.
Pages.
You can't make this up.
Yeah.
You really can't. I mean, it's humorous and it's very serious at the same time. the instruction manual for Dominion software, and I keep hearing different numbers, 28 states, 30 states, to count the votes. In the instruction manual itself, it says that you can use this software, Dominion software, to manipulate and change the vote tally. Now, I would not want to be a Dominion executive sitting in a courtroom with that instruction manual being presented to the jury. Would you, Doug?
No.
I can see the cross-examination of, we'll just say, Billy Bob as a Dominion executive. Well, Billy Bob, you are under oath, yes, sir. Billy Bob, I'm holding up something that appears to be a Dominion software instruction manual. Would you examine this and verify that that's exactly what this is? And Billy Bob, the Dominion executive, holds it in his hand. He looks at some of the pages. He turns it over. He hands it back to the attorney and says, yes, counselor, this is, in fact, a Dominion publication published by our company.
Now turn to page 452. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these guys need to be taking trips to countries with no extradition treaties with the United States.
Oh, yeah. You know,
seriously, that's what they need to be doing. They're already shutting down their offices, I heard this morning, they're running for cover.
Yeah, up in Toronto, I've got somebody up in Toronto. All right, so they've taken the name off. They're kind of gone from Toronto.
It's off the marquee.
Yeah,
the name's off the marquee.
Gone.
Change the locks.
I'm not going to get into that, but I can say this.
Well, I heard that up there in Toronto, they share office space with Soros.
Accurate? That's absolutely 100% accurate.
Okay.
Well, they used to as of until,
well, as of,
you know,
Thursday morning.
Yeah. And they also, I'll just say this, they also have a warehouse not too far from where I am seated.
Really?
Wonder what's in there. Do you think we know what's in there?
Well, I would think a stock of these machines that they distribute around the country.
Yes, and I want to say that we've got a team here that we went through all of this. And actually, one of the members of – I'm not going to disclose who. One of the members of the team said, hey, did you know? Look at this. And I got called over to the table, and he said, look – and I looked, and I'm saying, oh, my goodness, that's about 30 miles from here.
Right.
And he said, road trip.
Right. Well, I hope the appropriate people in Trump administration also know about this, and they conduct proper raid that's got the proper documentation to make a stand up in court. To seize whatever's in there and take it into their care and custody before it's either lost or damaged or destroyed.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. But it's far bigger than that. So you've got Dominion, you've got Smartmatic, you've got a number of different platforms. 28, 30 states, I'm not sure the precise number for Dominion, but you have ESNS, you've got some other things. I have a video clip if you don't mind,
let's see it. Okay. Absolutely. Let's go.
Let's take a look at this. It's split into two, and this is by band.video. Now, Roger Stone, who's, you know, some people say, oh, I don't, but the fact is he knows what's going on. He knows elections. He knows politics. The first part is, the first minute is Roger Stone, or 52 seconds is Roger Stone, and then a couple of minutes of Alex Jones. And again, you know, if you don't like the messengers, suck it up, buttercup, but here it is.
All of the controversy regarding Dominion voting systems is but the tip of the iceberg. Here's the real villain. It's none other than Bill Gates and Microsoft. You see, Microsoft designed a software called Election Guard that's being used by Dominion, as well as Election Services, Heart InterCivic, Clean Ballot, Election Systems and Hardware, B-Pro, and Smartmatic. In other words, 100% of the voting machines and voting systems in this country are using the same software that Dominion has been caught using to switch votes. The denial by the mainstream media that there's any evidence whatsoever is ludicrous. The evidence is overwhelming and compelling.
All right, stay with us here. Stay with us.
So, according to law, according to history, according to common practice, Trump is well within his rights. In fact, it's his duty to challenge a fraudulent election. It's we the people they're attempting to steal our sacred right and birthright of determining our own leaders from. Remember this 4 years ago. I keep showing this every day on the show. It hangs on the wall outside my office. Madam President, Newsweek reportedly printed 250,000 of these and said she was the president. Well, this year they just said, how about we just have all the control corporate media and have all these world leaders, all these people sit there and congratulate him as the winner, even though that's not how the law works, even though Hillary said we're going to contest, it's our right to contest, which it was, and then just gaslight everybody and say that that's the case. Held by this yardstick,
hang on,
they might as well just say that Hillary really won the election in 2020. And of course, if she's able to steal it, make no mistake, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were picked because they want one thing, status and money. They don't want to run nothing. Joe Biden and Kamala are known as put me on private jets, give me money, give me palaces, give me caviar, give me sex, give me drugs, and I don't want anything else. The bottom of the barrel. That's all this is. And so it is 100% fraud. Complete. When they tell you that Trump's a dictator and it's unprecedented, what he's doing, all of it's a lie on its face. I'm not going to repeat all the evidence. Al Gore, 37 days, Supreme Court ruled against him. That's what Trump said. He said months ago, he said, bad stuff in Pennsylvania, bad stuff in Georgia. Hell, they had PBS documentaries a month before the election saying it's totally fraudulent with decertified machines in all these states. Oh, but the news is like, there's no evidence Dominion software and Smartmatic are bad. They've just been kicked out of all these other countries and all these other states because they've been caught in election fraud. It's like, oh, Jeffrey Dahmer's on death row for eating people. Like, oh, next you're going to claim Jeffrey Dahmer ate people. I mean, next you're going to claim that, you know, if you live in Florida by a pond, watch out, alligators don't eat your dog. You know, it's just what these criminals do. And then they sit there and gaslight us after Russiagate and the fake impeachment and all of it. And they just decided no Trump.
Right. You can cut that off. It goes on for several more minutes. But the first part of that is what John was saying and that we all know. And the second part of that confirms what John has been saying. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. With respect to the general theft and the where we're at time wise with this election. So, hey, Mr. Biden, you're not president elect. Don't be measuring for drapes in the Oval Office just yet. Pee pads and knee pads. Look, you know, you guys have to just, you know, cool your jets.
Come on, man.
Joe, telling him. So there it is. So with that, what say you, the Liberty Man, John Moore?
Well, our mutual friend, Sam, I almost said Sam Adams, Sam Andrews, this morning. A little slip of the tongue.
I love it. I do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, he could be Sam Adams, but anyway, Sam, and it's not just Sam, but a number of people that you and I know, Mike Adams comes to mind, Dave Hodges, others, our friend, Ted Brewer. We're basically saying get ready for war. The president winning the Electoral College does not mean happy days are here again. It doesn't mean that. It means a communist, and this is genuinely a communist insurrection. To think of anything else is foolish. You don't have to peel back too many layers of the onion, Doug, to find communist influence, Chinese communist influence, Chinese communist money. But clearly it's a communist insurrection. they know that four more uninterrupted years of Donald Trump, they're done for at least one, possibly two generations, if nothing else, because of the Supreme, he'll appoint at least one more Supreme Court justice. Clarence Thomas is probably going to retire, the best guy we got on the court, by the way, in my opinion. He'll probably retire and have somebody who's equally as good or close to it, much younger, appointed. John Roberts needs to go. His days are numbered. I hope they're numbered anyway. I don't know that. But he's not a conservative. And there's a lot of speculation about what they got on him, including the fact that he rode these airplanes down to the island where all the bad things took place. A lot of things President Trump is doing are not widely known or publicized, in particular, federal regulations. Many of us recall Hussein Obama saying something like it would take magic fairy or something like that to bring manufacturing back to this country.
A magic wand.
Well, it didn't take a magic wand. What it took was President Trump doing away with regulations that made it economically unfeasible to do manufacturing in this country. And we're talking hundreds of regulations done away with that made a very attractive business climate for manufacturing to come back to this country. You can't destroy this country if we have a very strong economy. And now, what's happening with this Chinese flu is obviously another attempt to destroy President Trump and destroy the economy. And I have to admit, they've had a lot of success destroying the economy. However, on one hand,
it's the President response. Trump, you know, and thank you for mentioning that. Don't people understand? I mean, can't people see? At least 80 million can, I believe, can see that we are being railroaded by the coronavirus response. I believe the Chinese Party virus was a bioweapon. I believe that was done, that was released, with the intent to take down our economy by China after President Trump made some great strides in equaling the playing field, leveling the playing field between us and China. But can't people see what is going on with these draconian restrictions against we the people? You know, there was a great video, and I don't want to digress, but I want to tell you, I saw a great video on by a woman who, I think it was on Parler, the governor of, I don't know, some guy, I apologize. I think the governor of New Jersey was caught in Philadelphia. That's what it was. At a restaurant, dining at a restaurant. And this woman came up to her, came up to him and just really gave him what for, you know, oh my gosh, look who's here. You know, it's the rules are not for you. The rules are for us. John, you're absolutely 100% correct, and I'm going to shut up now, but I am so – I just can't believe that you've got this brainwashed populace out there, this brainwashed populace who will live in subjugation. They will live on their knees. The hell with freedom. They don't want freedom, apparently. I don't know. But they're convinced that, you know, you go outside, you're going to die. You know, wear a face mask, you're going to die.
Right. Right. It is so sad. Doug, my hometown is St. Louis, Missouri, and the county executive of St. Louis County, which has a population of about 1.5 million people, he's a medical doctor, by the way, a Democrat. He has issued an edict at 6 a.m. a week ago today, putting St. Louis County back on total lockdown. Now there's a consortium of about 40 restaurants in St. Louis County who are standing up and doing business as usual. And I said, good for them. People like bullet points to understand things and to be able to have an elevator conversation with somebody. Here's a really good bullet point.
By the way, because I like that elevator conversation. I'm right. Going to use that.
Well, you got you know, a minute or two. Here's the first part of it is one word. Sweden. Followed by no masks, no lockdowns, no pandemic. What more do you need to know? They have a lower fatality rate than we do. They have not destroyed their economy with these lockdowns that do nothing but destroy the economy. They accomplish nothing else. Almost nobody wears a mask. Obviously, it's a free country in Sweden. If you choose to, you can, but there's no mandates that they wear a mask. I was having lunch with Sam Andrews yesterday. He says, John, you know, a virus particle is 1 micron. There's no mask that people are wearing that will filter down to 1 micron. That mask does not exist. And he told me about having a job when he was a younger man in a place that had real viruses in a controlled environment. And he had to put on a hazmat suit with positive pressure to even enter the room where the real viruses were kept to protect him from the viruses. That's what it takes if you really want to be safe from a virus. Now, a virus will enter any mucous membrane. Now, Doug, your face has 5 mucous membranes, 1 mouth, 2 nostrils, and 2 eyes. So even if you believe a mask will help, you're still left unexposed to mucous membranes, your eyes. What's the point? What is the point? There is none. It's a fantasy. I was talking to an acquaintance, a female acquaintance, over the weekend, or I guess maybe Friday or so, and she was berating these Christians, quote-unquote, Christians who don't wear masks. So I was talking to Sam's wife, who's a psychological professional, and I said, what's the deal? I never anticipated that there'd be this clear breakdown between conservatives and liberals, Christians and non-Christians, on the topic of how to deal with the Chinese flu and wearing masks. And she explained it as a matter of faith, that us Christians do have faith in ourselves, in our God, in our God's ability to protect us, to give us a strong immune system. Therefore, we don't have the fear that non-Christians have of this Chinese flu. And it makes sense to me, Doug. It's the only thing I've heard that makes sense, because I'm sure you've noticed yourself. In fact, one of our local retailers out where I live, he has a business where people, maybe 50 or 60 people, come in a day. He told me this back in, I'm going to say, May. He says, John, I learned how to tell the conservatives from the liberals. And I said, how's that? He says, the liberals are wearing masks. So many people have made this observation over the past 10 months, Doug, that it's not always, but mostly liberals wearing masks, and not always, but mostly conservatives who are not wearing masks. One of the main exceptions, of course, would be older folks who have compromised immune systems. If they're that fragile, maybe they shouldn't be out in public at all. And, of course, we should protect those who are vulnerable. The ones in a people in nursing homes are always at risk from the flu every year. It's not unusual. It's simply the way things are, that every flu, thousands of Americans in nursing homes get the flu, that becomes pneumonia, and they die. It's an unfortunate fact of life, but that is a fact of life. It's nothing unusual, nothing bizarre, nothing strange. That's simply the way it is. And this flu kills people in the same way in these nursing homes that any other flu does. You get the flu, you get pneumonia, and you die. When people who get the flu, the Chinese flu, the Wuhan COVID-19, out of all the people that get it, and I'm not talking about the make-believe PCR tests, the people that die are 0.3%, or as I say in Britain, 0.3%. Yep. People who get it die. Now, that's not a pandemic, Doug. That's routine. That's normal. That's a normal flu, is for 0.3% of the people who get it, not the general population. 0.3% of the people who get it pass and die. It's a fantasy. The whole thing is a fantasy. It's smoke and mirrors. We were hoping that following the election, these Democratic mayors and governors would back down, but they haven't. They've basically dug their heels in to destroy our economy, destroy our culture, destroy our way of life. That's where this is going, Doug.
Well, you know, this ties right in with Build Back Better, the Green New Deal, and the United Nations, the World Health Organization, all of the usual suspects. This ties in with the idea that President Trump, by the grace of God, was and by the failure of the algorithms to stop him in 2016, got into office and, of course, upset that the 16-year plan that they had to fundamentally change the United States and to subjugate the United States to a global governance. So now they are, at this point, John, I believe that they are trying to make up for lost time. So they're doubling and tripling down on what they're doing. Is that kind of not what?
Well, they have no choice. The goal of the communists is, well, it's multifaceted.
Sure.
One of them that we need to be aware of course, is depopulation. I have the TED Talk video on my website of Bill Gates in living color, as we used to say for us older folks that remember when color was kind of a special thing on TV.
I do.
Bill Gates doing a TED Talk where he states the following, that he wants to reduce the world's population using vaccines.
Yeah,
there's only two ways that can happen, Doug, not three. One is to sterilize people, the other is to murder them. There's no third way. There is no third way.
I go to thelibertyman.com. I didn't mean to be, I'm excited because I'm glad you have it on there. It needs to be seen. People need to see that. There it is on the screen, thelibertyman.com, the web presence for Mr. John Moore. And find that video and watch it because, you know, when I first saw it, I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I thought, wait a minute. What did he just say? Control the world.
And he's smiling and he's proud of it.
Yeah.
He's smiling and he's proud of it.
How is that?
What a bizarre individual. What a strange, evil man this is who takes pride in, being part of something that will either sterilize women or men, or murder them. He's proud of it. He takes joy in it. He's smiling when he makes this statement. And, of course, the audience, I don't know who's in this audience, but they're applauding, and obviously they think it's a good thing as well. But that's the end goal, is to achieve what's written on the Georgia Guidestones. That is the end goal. Everything else is just a way to get us there, a vehicle to get us there, Doug. Destroying economies, destroying cultures, destroying people's lives. Those are all just vehicles to achieve that goal ultimately, where instead of 7-point-something billion people on the planet, we've got 500 million. That's a lot of dead people, Doug. That's an awful lot of dead people.
Which, you know, I believe that to be their in-game objective is depopulation. And of course, they've got to have a slave population to serve their needs, to, you know, to grow their food and to do the things that they need to have done for them. So, you know, it's okay. But to have the hubris to actually think that 80 million people, at least 80 million people, aren't awake enough to see through that agenda, we're fixing on going to war. As you said earlier, I'm telling you, December 15th rolls around because, as you pointed out, December 14th is the, I got it right here, December 14th, the electors vote in their states, Monday after the second Wednesday in December, the presidential years, as is set in 3 U.S.C. Section 7, they're going to meet, the electors are going to meet.
Well, there's three possible outcomes here. Either the Electoral College settles this on the 14th of December, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, it goes to the Supreme Court and they settle it, as they did in 2000 with Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Or three, it goes to the House of Representatives and the 50 states get one vote each.
Correct.
To decide who's president. There's no fourth way in terms of legality or the Constitution I'm aware of, Doug.
Let's stop right there for a second because this kind of is the larger conversation. Everywhere you turn, you go to Twitter and you see this red, I guess if it's written in red, I guess, you know, by Twitter, I guess you have to pay attention to it. I guess it's true where, you know, there's really no evidence of election fraud. And you hear this over and over and over.
Right.
And for the love of God, even on Fox News, well, there's no evidence of election fraud. You know, there's no evidence that a dog pooped in my front yard, but boy, I'll tell you what. I stepped in it. I could probably think of a better analogy, but.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's the nature of live TV. We have to do things on the
Yeah. So, I mean, you get to be an absolute numbskull, John. You've got to have something not clicking upstairs to believe that there was no election fraud, for the love of God, when you've got a 350% turnout in one precinct. 350% of the registered voters voting, and there's no fraud? What are these people, insane? I mean, see, that's an honest question. Are they insane, or are they complicit? Or are
the truth will be revealed, and it has to be revealed in the next 2 weeks. There's no choice. The truth has to be revealed in the next 2 weeks.
Oh.
The hard evidence of the fraud presented before a judge who will do the right thing. Giuliani's team was pleased when the judge in Pennsylvania, I think it was, dismissed the case, saying, this is great. Now it puts us that much closer to the Supreme Court, which, of course, it does. So these are fast-moving times, Doug. You know, you and I visit here on this show every Monday. Every 7 days, things are dramatically different than they were 7 days before. These are historical times, changing day by day. Sam Andrews was caught off guard this morning. He didn't know that Sidney Powell was no longer part of the president's legal team until I informed him this morning. It's hard to keep up with these things. They're moving so fast, aren't they, Doug?
Yep. But you know what, John? Some things we can see coming. Some things we can't. By the way, I didn't see that coming. I kind of figured something would have to be done to separate the... how can I put this? You've got parallel investigations, and you know this. You could be working for an attorney whose interests are the same as another attorney or another client, but, you know, so there's got to be a separation sometimes. And I, it could have been done differently, bad optics, but nonetheless, what are you going to do?
There's a couple of 900-pound gorillas in the living room. One is the Department of Justice. Attorney General Barr changed the protocols just over a week ago, I believe, to allow and participate in vote fraud investigation before the new candidate, is installed in office. That's new, which gives me hope that the Department of Justice is actually doing something, despite the apparently very dysfunctional FBI at the top and mid-level management. Apparently, for decades, you don't get to be a special agent in charge of a field office unless you've been compromised somehow, some way, in your patriotism to the country and so forth. But the FBI agents I've worked with below the SAC level, the special agent in charge level, I'd say they've been patriotic men and women who really believe in their country and want their country to prosper and be a great country. So we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with the FBI or the Department of Justice. We have hope, at least I have hope, that they're pursuing parallel investigations on this fraud and hopefully exchanging information, exchanging bits of evidence like affidavits with each other. Well, I take that back. The FBI doesn't share anything with anybody. It's just a one-way street. Well, you know, that's a reputation all over the country.
Yeah.
They'll take whatever you got, but they're not going to give you a damn thing.
I couldn't even get a copy of the contract agreement I signed with the FBI when I was in operation last night.
It's a well-deserved reputation, and every cop and prosecutor in the United States knows that it's a one-way street. Information goes to the FBI, but nothing ever comes back, unless it suits their purpose and helps them, of course.
It's true.
So Department of Justice is a big unknown. Now, Mike Adams made a statement, and Sam Andrews said he agreed with today, that the Defense Intelligence Agency is the good guys, that they can be counted on to do the right thing for the right reasons and support the president in his efforts. In addition,
and show me
part of.
I mean, John, I don't mean to interrupt, nor do I mean to, but show me. What have we seen so far? What have we seen from the Department
of Justice? Here's what we've seen. The chess players being put in place, Secretary of Defense being fired and replaced by a former Green Beret. That's massive. The special operations a chain of command, now bypassing the Joint Chiefs of Staff and going directly to the president. That's massive. The Sidney Powell confirmed Saturday, by the way, that it was our guys that seized the servers in Germany. That's massive. I don't know who has custody of them. I hope it's the White Hats. Sidney Powell says she now has information that it was. Thursday, 2 days before, she didn't know if it was good guys or bad
guys. That's
true. But she confirmed that it was the good guys that have the servers, plural, seized in Germany, which hopefully somebody like the Defense Intelligence Agency have these machines, and they'll be figuring out what's on these machines in terms of evidence of fraud and deception and crime. So when I say that the chess places are being put on the board, this is what I'm referring to. The change of the Department of Justice protocols for when you may begin an investigation. They now have the authority to do that now. In fact, the guy who was in charge of that section resigned because he didn't go along with it, and I'm good riddance. Don't let the door hit me in the butt. So good riddance.
That was Chris Krebs, and I believe – Yeah, and I think that was one of the only moves. Although what you had indicated before,
well, they're all connected.
Okay,
changing the Department of Defense head, changing change of command for special operations. President Trump has to have men and women in key places that he can count on.
True.
And these changes, including what Attorney General Barr did, are putting in place protocols that can move forward to achieve our goal of preserving this presidency, give President Trump the physical backup he needs, if he needs it, in the form of special forces. You know, you don't want to mess around with Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Green Berets, or Marine Force Recon. You really don't want to mess with these guys. They'll just take care of business and do what needs to be done at the request of the President of the United States. You can count on that. And they have an attitude anyway. These SEAL Team 6 guys that were murdered by Obama, they have not forgotten. You can count on it. They have not forgotten that their buddies were lost due to Hussein Obama basically ratting them out to the enemy so they could be shot down and all murdered.
Well, John, okay, let me interject this. Here's my problem that I've got. You've got Rudy Giuliani, the attorney for the president, conducting investigations and filing lawsuits on behalf of President Trump. That's one. You've got Sidney Powell, independent, doing the same thing. That's two. But her aspect goes much bigger in a parallel but different direction, going after a larger, global conspiracy, which exists. I believe that to be the case. That's what she's doing. But then you have Jay and Jordan Sekulow from ACLJ filing lawsuits, one in Georgia now, which, you know, what's coming in Georgia will be shocking, appearing on Newsmax and OAN and other alternative media. But I'm not seeing Barr announcing anything or saying anything or doing anything. That's my problem. And I know what you said, but that's my problem right now. And for four years, we haven't seen anything. But okay.
If I was Attorney General Barr, I would be reluctant to reveal anything that could be used by the opposition. And I would keep really quiet. I don't know whether there's anything that's going to help him by doing press releases. Press releases cannot help him, but they could hurt him.
True.
Given how critical this is, the future of our republic is on the line. Even my hillbilly neighbors, they're saying the same thing. If we lose this one to fraud, we're finished as a republic, because they'll do this in every important election from here on out if this one is allowed to stand, this fraudulent, deceptive criminal activity that took place during this election. We're done as a republic. We're finished. And you know, when I say my hillbilly neighbors, we wear that label proudly, as I call myself a barefoot peasant or a hillbilly myself. But we wear that label proudly as part of our heritage. And if people in my neighborhood were, it's a 45-minute drive at the speed limits of the first traffic signal. If people in that remote of an area know that, then pretty much everybody who's even a little bit awake knows this nationwide, Doug. This is a nationwide phenomenon of people being aware that the future of our republic is at risk right now. And I don't know what Bill Barr is doing. Based on the evidence I've seen, I believe he's got a team of excellent attorneys who are doing the same thing that Rudy Giuliani is doing and Sidney Powell is doing, except they have something that these other people don't. They have the power of subpoena. You know, the Department of Justice can subpoena anybody or any document that they want. And that's a tremendous advantage, isn't it, Doug?
It is. It is. Okay.
Well, subpoenas are magic. I mean, subpoenas will open doors that will that would remain closed forever otherwise.
Yes.
And you know, I've been working with subpoenas now since 1972. In fact, the first big case I worked on was a federal antitrust lawsuit, which is so classic, it's now taught in law schools as the classic federal antitrust lawsuit. And we had a list of interrogatories. I got my very own interrogatory. I was, 23, 24 years old. It took me months to meet the demands of the interrogatory, which I did, of course. So the Department of Justice has the power of subpoena, to subpoena documents, to subpoena evidence, to subpoena people. It's a wonderful tool that makes things happen and makes things happen really quickly.
I agree. But I'm thinking about a Seinfeld episode where Jerry Seinfeld and I think Elaine go to a counter where you rent cars, and he made a reservation to rent a car, and the woman said, "I'm sorry, you know, we don't have your car here," and he got into this big comedic argument about, well, that's the purpose of a reservation, is we make a reservation, you know, to hold the car. And the woman says, I know what a reservation is. And he says, I don't think you do. That's the way I kind of look at these subpoenas, potential right. Subpoenas. Yes, they're magical. They work if people actually work them. And I, again, I'm looking for the gist by the Department of Justice to work this, because we've had plenty of time for subpoenas. And even if you just take the voter fraud aspect of this, people knew about these machines back in 2016. They knew about them in 2018. And I'll bet you go back to 2018, you take a look, and I'll bet you there's evidence that we didn't lose the House. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Well, in places where it was a tight race, very possibly, it brings up the Silcasio Cortez woman. She beat a Democrat in that race, for the primary race, that had held that office for what, 10 cycles, something like that,
yeah.
10 2-year cycles.
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't win that thing. Maybe the Dominion software gave it to her because they wanted her in there instead of the old Democratic hack that had been there for decades. It's been said, and I don't know how accurate it is, Doug, that Dominion software has been used to benefit both Republicans and Democrats. I don't know.
Yes.
That. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. Have you heard that also?
Yeah, I have. And that was intimated by Sidney Powell in one of her sound bites.
All right.
So.
Don't take, I know I'm repeating myself.
And Linwood, too.
Do not take Sidney Powell lightly.
Yes.
This woman could easily become our next Attorney General. Maybe Supreme Court Justice. She has the term steel trap mind. She has a 10 steel trap mind. It's an amazing, this woman's brain is an amazing piece of legal competence. This woman is highly competent when it comes to anything in the legal area. And dismissing her, taking her lightly, not believing what she's saying will just put you on the wrong side. You're going to lose. You go up against Sidney Powell in any legal matter, you're going to lose.
Yep.
She doesn't take on losers. And I've worked with attorneys like this. Within a period of no more than half an hour, An attorney like Sidney Powell can figure out if a case is a winner or a loser. They can. They have that expertise. To a certain extent, I have it too, but these attorneys have developed to a very fine tool that they use to only take on the winners. And that's where Sidney Powell is on it. She knows the winner when she sees it. She evaluated General Flynn's situation. She came to the conclusion that everything was screwed up, that she could turn it around, and she has. She's turned that whole case upside down. General Flynn will prevail.
And he would have, absent of Emmett Sullivan, that activist judge. I mean, who in the hell could not see? That blows my mind, by the way.
When you're prosecutor and your defense counsel both agree that the whole thing should be dropped, and I've seen this happen myself, I'm not aware of any judge who would go against the wishes of both the prosecuting attorney and the defense counsel to drop the matter.
Yeah, so you have seen that happen, though?
I've not seen it ever.
Okay, no, I haven't either.
I've never seen it ever.
My goodness. No. I mean, the judge would be going, yeah. Now,
typically, judges are an arm length away, legally and emotionally, from these kinds of decisions. They typically don't care what the outcome is from a personal standpoint or emotional standpoint. And they typically say, let's get this thing off my docket. Mr. Prosecutor, you want it over? Defense counsel, you want it over? Okay. That's fine with me. Just drop the thing. It's over. It's finished.
Gets a lot of my docket.
Has happened in the past, Doug. I have no knowledge that a similar situation has ever happened in the past. So with as many thousands of cases that they have in this country, maybe it has. But it's certainly a very bizarre situation, isn't it?
Yeah, bizarre doesn't even begin to describe it, but you're right. And there's a saying, I'm sure you've heard this. DAs use it, big cases, big problems, small cases, small problems, no cases, no problem. And that's kind of, and justice, it's not justice. When you go, I've worked with district attorneys and ADAs and federal prosecutors and the whole, all of them. And I've seen, you've done this and extremely well. But a lot is based upon conviction rate as opposed to justice. Can I win this case? And I get it.
Well, there's lots of factors there. There's the resources of the prosecutor, district attorney, both money and people. That's one of it. The political aspect of it. How will the outcome of this affect my career? There's the ethical part of it. What's the right thing to do? So there's many things that go into these decisions for a prosecutor, or district attorney to decide to prosecute or not prosecute. Frequently, they don't have deep resources to take on major cases without a major disruption in everything else the office is doing. The O.J. Simpson case comes to mind as a very bizarre, freakish example of the criminal justice system at work. I've been in quite a few murder trials. I know you have, Doug. It's rare for a murder trial to go past the third day. If it goes to a week, you're close to setting a record for a murder trial. That's the norm. For a murder trial to go on for months, as O.J. Simpson did, people think that's our legal system at work. No, that's a bizarre example of the judge allowing these lawyers to become media celebrities is all that was.
I'm glad you point that out because a lot of people don't have experience in this, John. You know, you're right. Murder trials, you get 3 days, you're about done. I mean,
sometimes you get into complex, lengthy things involving medical experts and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But that's the exception.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty much.
Prosecutor, you take a day to pick the jury. That's one day. Prosecutor puts on his case. It may take a day. Typically, it takes half a day. Then the defense gets his turn or her turn, and it may take half a day or a full day. That's it. They're done. And that's a typical murder case. Now, it may take a year to get to the point where you're in that courtroom for those 3 days.
That's true.
That's where the complexity comes in. That's where the hard work comes in, and you and I have been both part of it, following real leads, following fantasy leads, getting real evidence, finding evidence that's not evidence at all. I've been down that road many times, and I'm sure you have.
Oh, man. The hours, the days, the weeks that I've wasted chasing, you know, leads that weren't leads or, you know, you've been there, and it's, you wonder some days, you know, is this ever going to stop?
When I open up a police report on a new murder case, and I've done this quite a few times, I'll have the file in front of me, a thin file with maybe 10 or 20 pages in it, the police report and photographs. I'll sit down with a nice, fresh, clean legal pad that's never been touched by human hands, a nice mug of Detective Choice coffee off to the right on a mug warmer, and this file. And then the world stops and the case begins. That's how this starts. And when I open up that file for the first time, I'm thinking to myself, here's the next year of my life, right here, in front of me. This is the next year of my life, of John Moore, basically shutting off all extraneous activity to the benefit of this murder case. It may mean working my birthday. It may mean working my anniversary, my grandchildren's birthday, holidays, whatever it takes. The case comes first for the next year of my life to get this thing ready for trial.
Yep. That's and a lot of people don't understand that. but you're right. You know, I should also point out too, since you're talking about this, you know, in murder trials, in criminal trials, you're looking at beyond a reasonable doubt. In civil matters, you're looking at preponderance of evidence. The standards are different. In the voting fraud, pursuing that, you're looking at criminal activities, whereas in invalidating election results, in most cases, and correct me if I'm wrong, are we not looking at a civil matter to invalidate as opposed to pursue fraud on election matters? You're looking at the civil.
There's
going to
be crossover in the evidence used.
All right.
There will be crossover in the evidence used. But the judge it's in front of in the matter itself would be civil or criminal. You're right.
Okay.
But you would have similar affidavits, maybe the same affidavits, similar evidence, and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
To accomplish these different goals. Right.
John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. You're listening to the Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network. This is libertyman.com. Go there, bookmark that website. John's got a radio show, fantastic show, every weekday. Just go to thelibertyman.com and make sure you listen to him every day. Every day he's got a different guest on. Monday's Sam Andrews, who's been on this program. He's a fantastic guest. And by the way, John, we need to support Sam Andrews as he's been hit with
We both of us, you at your website, myself at my own.
Yeah.
Top Dead Center, my website at thelibertyman.com. I've got a PayPal link.
There you go.
This Sam Andrews is under attack from a multi-millionaire. Sam believes his net wealth to be $800 million. He shut down Freedom Center USA. Sam doesn't have deep pockets to fund this thing on his own. It's going to cost about $50,000 to enter into this legal defense. It's a civil matter. Without going into any details, Sam Andrews needs our help financially, and I'm doing what I can. I know you're doing what you can, Doug. I want to ask all our listeners, if you want to defend freedom, help defend the Second Amendment, help keep this business a going business, Freedom Center USA. This is where world-class training comes place. He's got military men coming from 12 time zones away. You know, there's only 24 time zones, so you can't get any farther away. Because if you do, you start getting closer. So he's got – well, seriously, you know, that's as far away as you can get from Lebanon, Missouri. It's 12 time zones. And he's got soldiers coming from 12 time zones away to get training. He's got world-class marksmen with various military groups coming to get training there, including the governor of Missouri's personal security detail getting training there. And it's the real deal. Freedom Center USA, and he needs your financial support.
No,
so if you find it hard to do that, please do so.
Absolutely. And go to thelibertyman.com and click on the donate link to Sam Enders. And, you know, I just wonder why they want to shut him down.
Well, he's very outspoken. He has a, because of his appearances on your show and my show, he's getting an audience and a following of his own.
Mm-hmm.
Both for his business and for the words he says. During the two Ferguson riots, not the first one, but the second one, well, maybe some of the first one too, Sam was the field commander of the Oath Keepers there defending lives and property. And I had him, we did an interview every day during the Ferguson riots where Sam would give us updates on what was going on, including one of the rioters during the daytime before, well, they were pretty quiet during the day, showing Sam his paycheck stub from George Soros, where he was paid to be there.
I'm shocked, and, I tell you, I'm shocked.
And another rioter, maybe the same one, telling Sam how they were giving detailed instructions on how to fabricate incendiary devices to burn down these structures, these businesses, what some people might call Molotov cocktails, and many other things that Sam revealed during his interviews that I did with him during the Ferguson riots.
Yeah, so you were on top of that, and thank you for being on top of that. And I just want to remind people, John Moore is the real deal, and he's been way ahead of the curve on just about everything. I'm pulling up the rear with respect to John on this kind of the Ferguson riots. I mean, John knows all about that, and Sam Enders, and so thank you. And thelibertyman.com is his website, but yeah, you're right. I wanted to get that in there because.
Well, I appreciate that, Doug, and. My audience is growing. I'll be looking at Rumble as an alternative to YouTube. I think I have 29,000 followers on YouTube. So far, I think they knocked out a show I did with Sam Enders, I think, 3 Mondays ago, and I didn't really inquire why.
Oh, they're coming. No, don't bother, because they're going to give you a I almost said a naughty. Don't bother. Yeah, I'm done with YouTube. They can pound sand, and I'm done with YouTube.
Right. Well, it's been a good platform for me, but I need to be looking at alternatives. Apparently, you like Rumble. If it works, that's great. So
yeah, it does.
And of course, Mike Adams has his own platform. We're looking at that one.
Brighteon. We're on Brighteon too. Yeah, come on over, man. The water's good.
Okay. Okay. Well, I have to work with my webmaster. These are things. It's not my expertise, but we're looking at the alternatives and what needs to be done, how much time it's going to take, and so forth. Minor matters. The main thing is to get the word out, and we're getting the word out nationwide, you and I, as to what's going on, why it's going on, what we need to do to mitigate. Sam Enders says, and I agree with Sam, is the patriotic men in this country need to be ready to defend liberty with firearms if necessary. Hopefully it won't be necessary. But if the president issues a call to arms, I will answer that call to arms. If my governor issues a call to arms, I will answer a call to arms. If my county sheriff, great guy, former Marine, I have dinner with once a month, if he issues a call to arms, he knows I'll be there to cover his six. He knows that, and I've let him know that. So all patriotic men and any women who want to participate need to be ready for a call to arms if it comes up. And the way to do that is to make sure your firearms are ready, your ammunition, your health, your equipment, everything is in place and ready to go if that call to arms does occur by a valid authority who has the ability to issue that call. It may be the county executive. It may be a local judge. It may be a sheriff. Maybe a chief of police in your town. Chief of police says, I need your help, John. I'll be there.
Yeah, we're talking about constitutional. But just so people don't get the wrong idea and we don't get turned in for violations somewhere. Yeah, I don't know where. They pretty much burned us everywhere. But you're talking about constitutional, protecting the Constitution. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the laws of all 50 states, but the militia law of Missouri allows the sheriff to activate the county militia, which is all men and women age 18 to 60. He can do that. City mayors can do the same thing. The city mayors in the state of Missouri can activate the city militia, which is men and women between 18 and 60 years old. The governor, of course, has the same authority to activate the state militia, which is all men and women 18 to 60 years old. The federal militia is men only from 18 to, I believe, 45 is the federal militia, which can be activated by President Trump if he needs to. So this is the law. This is not make-believe fantasy. It's not something that doesn't have the force of law behind it. This is law under federal statutes and state statutes, who the militia is, who has authority to activate them. That is the law, Doug.
You know, you're right. And I just keep thinking, and as you said when you came on, December 15th, I think that there's going to be probably 80 million Americans. I was talking to my wife about this earlier. Roughly 80 million Americans, or 60 million, depending on which side you're on, very PO'd, very upset.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
So, yes, plus the recruited and paid for upset people.
Yes.
Yeah. Antifa is recruited and paid for upset people. Many of them could care less about this. All they care about is that very nice paycheck that they would get instead of being in their mother's basement eating Cheetos. So that's, you know, they'll pretend to be upset because they're paid to pretend to be upset, and they will commit acts of violence because they've been recruited, trained, and equipped to commit acts of violence, as they did in Ferguson and many major cities this past summer. They're laying in wait right now, Doug. Antifa, yeah, and Black Lives Matter is laying in wait, getting more training, getting more equipment, more supplies, ready to be activated on or after December 15th, the day after the Electoral College votes. That's what's happening right now. Same thing happened when I was in Vietnam, the Viet Cong, the whole fall of 1967 and early January of 1968. There was almost no activity, to the point where General Westmoreland made an address before a joint session of Congress, his famous light at the end of the tunnel speech that General Westmoreland gave.
Oh, yeah.
Before a joint session of Congress, saying that Viet Cong, the North Vietnamese, were a defeated enemy and no longer could mount a credible offense.
Right.
That's what he said less than 2 months before the Tet Offensive of 1968.
I had totally forgotten about that. You're right. Thanks for reminding me about that.
Well, I lived it. I was there.
Yeah.
I lived it, and I saw what was happening. I knew the attack was coming, and the Viet Cong were doing then what Antifa is doing right now. Laying in wait, more training, more equipment, more supplies, waiting for the time when they get activated, which right now we're focused on December 15th. It could be before, it could be after. It's a good date to focus on. It gives a little something to look at,
yeah,
in the future. But that's what they're doing. They're not going to go away. President Trump gets reelected, they're not going to go away. If Joe Biden gets elected, they're not going to go away. These people have an agenda. That agenda is to destroy our republic. And that agenda will move forward, regardless of who the president is, Doug.
Well, yeah. And just to be clear, we're talking about December 15th, which would be the day after, obviously, December 14th. Boy, you like my logic ability there. The electors vote in their states on December 14th, so the 15th is what we selected. And then the a couple of other dates, just so people are informed. December 23rd, that's the day certificates must be delivered to the designated officials. Now, this is this year, okay, and we're talking 2020. And then just to give you a little inkling here, if the certificates from any state have not been delivered by December 23rd, 2020, the president of the Senate, or in their absence, is required to request the Secretary of State or equivalent officer in that state to send one of the copies they hold to the president of the Senate by registered mail. But, and then January 6th is a joint session of Congress to mount, or to count, electoral ballots, electoral votes and declare election results. They meet on January 6th. The joint session of, joint session challenges to electoral vote returns. That comes after that. And of course, on January 20th, you've got the inauguration. So there you go.
Well, let's interject a little humor here. A little humor might be
that would be helpful.
My grandson, who turned 24 a week ago Saturday, he told me a week ago yesterday He says, Grandpa, The Simpsons, that's the adult cartoon, The Simpsons, they say that all hell's going to break loose on January 20th. And I said, well, I really like to rely on good, reliable sources like The Simpsons for my information. And he laughed and he said, I think we talked about this last week briefly, Doug, that the Simpsons do have a track record of being accurate when it comes to these kind of predictions. And that is exactly the case. I don't know who writes that or where they get their information, but they have been accurate in some of these predictions in their in this adult cartoon called The Simpsons. So it's another date to throw in our hat there as a possible flashpoint.
You know, it's sad to think that we've got to go to Adult Swim or the adult cartoons to get our fortune told, so to speak. And okay.
Well, the most well-known example is a Simpson cartoon episode where Donald Trump is coming down the elevator declaring his president, his candidacy for president, which that cartoon does exist, mm-hmm. and it was produced before he actually did come down that escalator to announce his presidency and waving to the crowd.
You know, I think 9/11 too, right? I don't care. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't either. I don't follow the Simpsons.
I don't either. I mean, my goodness. I'm too old to watch cartoons. I don't need to be doing that. One thing, would we get in trouble if we played that? Is that what I sent to you? Yeah. Okay. A caller. I don't think we would. A caller, did you hear this caller, to Rush Limbaugh's program? It's a 2 minute clip. Let's go ahead and listen to this. The reason I wanted to play this, there are so many men and women and so many Americans right now that feel, disenfranchised, that feel afraid, that feel, they're very emotionally invested, obviously, in keeping America going. But we feel somewhat alone. I heard this call. Do you know what call I'm referring to? If you don't, I mean, it's fine because it didn't get a lot of play everywhere.
Well, let's hear it, Doug.
Okay. And hopefully we can play this. I hope it's not. Helping. Go ahead.
I'm going to try to hold myself together, not get emotional here, but I want to harken back to your statement about Georgia.
Yeah.
And about the Trump voter.
Yeah.
And they should be very afraid, very afraid. Trump and you are all we have left, Rush. We've spent our lives voting for these people because they're not them. And we just can't do it anymore. We're tired of being stabbed in the back, Rush. It's better to have an enemy that's in front of you than a friend that's behind you that's just going to stab you. They do it every time. We have a Republican-controlled state, and they won't do an audit of the vote. They won't. They just basically told every Georgian that they don't care. We were in Washington on Saturday. Me and my 33-year-old son, we saw more people than we've ever seen in our lifetime, ever. And we're season ticket holders for the Ravens, for gosh sakes. I've been in crowds of 80,000 people. I've been to Steelers games, for goodness sakes. I have never seen so many people, but were there any Republicans there? No. None. None.
But wait. What? There were no Republicans. What was this thing that you went to?
A week ago Saturday in Washington, D.C., the mega rally. There must have been hundreds of thousands.
Okay, it's a MAGA rally, and there were, you mean no elected Republicans? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Our party leadership, quote unquote, if this were a Democrat rally, they would all be there. They were there for the anti-Tea Party movement, walking hand in hand up the steps.
Yep.
No one stands for us, Rush. Only you and Donald Trump. God forbid, what do we have left? I love my president. I am not a revolutionary, Rush, but I will die for my president. This man has given more to this country than anybody, and he has no need to. None. He's a billionaire. He doesn't need this.
That's exactly right.
It's disheartening.
All right. I played that because what you said earlier, John, and what we've been kind of a common theme throughout this is we're at the breaking point right now. And I think that people need to understand that that caller represents 80 million of us in the sense that, you know,
Doc, what happens in the next 3 weeks is going to determine the direction this republic goes from here on out.
Right.
That's how important this is. We're at a crossroads to determine if our republic remains free and moves forward into health and welfare and prosperity, or it declines and falls apart into the communist insurgency that wants to destroy our country. That's how important this is. And people, we're into uncharted waters. You don't know how deep it is. You don't know where the land starts and the water begins. Uncharted territory, uncharted waters at night. But people need to be flexible, need to be ready to respond to responsible authorities, county sheriffs, county commissions, county judges, mayors, and governors that are patriotic and will defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. These governors, mayors, chiefs of police, sheriffs, they're not going to call out their militias unless they've got no choice. That's not going to happen for a lot of reasons we don't need to go into. But if they do call out the militia, the men and women between 18 and 60 years old, that means that in that jurisdiction, that county, that state, that city, that the republic, that part of the republic is in very serious trouble. Or they wouldn't call out the militia to help them because they're overwhelmed. Now, this has happened. This has happened in my state, Missouri. The county seat, I believe, is Shannon County, called Eminence, Missouri. The county sheriff called out the militia because Antifa was on the way. Black Lives Matter was on the way. And he had hundreds of men and women that were armed and ready to meet and defeat the enemy. The Antifa people showed up. They sent a scout car in. They saw what was waiting for them. They turned around and left before anything happened. Similar things have happened in other communities, Farmington, Missouri, St. Francis County, Missouri, the county seat of Washington County, Potosi, Missouri, and probably others. I just happen to know these things because they're in my neighborhood, that Antifa, Black Lives Matter, attempted to show up, maybe get there for an hour or so, and they left with no harm being done because the militia was there to meet them. When you're outnumbered 10 to 1 by armed men and women, the smart thing to do is to leave, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah, but who said they're smart? I've always, and forgive me, folks, if this sounds pretty nasty, I've always thought that, you know, a Charles Bronson kind of situation, you only need to take out two or three every other night, and pretty soon you're going to see the crowds dwindle to nothing. But we haven't seen that. And that's because the majority of people with firearms are law-abiding citizens who don't go out and kill people. Even the ones that arguably might need it. I don't know, but you're right. What you said. John Moore, LibertyMan.com. TheLibertyMan.com is a website. Bookmark that website. And by the way, help Sam Andrews out. Go ahead and from TheLibertyMan.com, click the donate button there. Okay. Please do that. But while you're there, listen to his radio show and drill down into past archived episodes. That's thelibertyman.com. And by the way, he's got some excellent products, including I don't even know how to describe this, but, you lay on it and let me tell you something.
The energy cleaner.
Energy cleaner.
Are you all set up and using yours now, Doug?
Yes, I am. And I'll tell you, I don't know. I can't explain it, but wow.
Well, you can always call it magic, but that healing signal that goes to every cell in your body helps with pain issues and sleep issues.
Yep.
And it is marvelous. We've had quite a few people, dozens of people, sent us their private testimonials about getting their life back.
The energy cleaner, folks, if you have any doubts whether it works or not, it does. Okay. At least on me. I'm not making any claims. It does. I feel a lot better. I've got more energy, my clarity of thought, although I occasionally mispronounce words like karaoke. Karaoke. Let's have some karaoke. Come on, man. It works. It does work. It works on the pain level. It works on a number of things. So thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Doug. We took too long to get that to you, but we're glad that we did. And I got my Black Friday sale going on right now with the Energy Cleaner.
Cool.
$25 off the Energy Cleaner, 10% off the mattress pads until Monday at midnight, the 30th. When you place, you already pay full price. I refund the difference manually. If you want to send me a check, just calculate the correct price and mail it before midnight the 30th. Take advantage of the Black Friday sale.
Can't beat that with a stick, man.
All right. Well, I'll be covered up with ours, but that's okay. It's what I volunteered for. It's not a problem. This is my home business. When you place your order, I'm the guy that, you know, I process the paperwork manually. I take care of packing it up and take it to the little Cherry post office at Cherryville, Missouri, which is also a country store and restaurant where they have an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet every Friday night for $8. And typically a great lunch during the week is $5 or $6. So,
Man. You know what? I'm not sure about the catfish. Not sure.
I'm not a catfish lover myself, but they're popular out here.
Yeah, you know, it's up here we love our fish fries, by the way. Just telling you. Love our fish fries. But folks, seriously, check out John's line of products, including and especially the energy cleaner. Great sale going on. And just bookmark go to thelibertyman.com and then, find the product and have at it. Cause it works. And I can't explain it, but I can tell you.
Well, something else, Doug, if you got cats or dogs, if you don't keep the bedroom door shut, they will get on that bed. And you may end up fighting over it if there's more than one cat or dog.
I was wondering why Lady, the studio dog, who loves to sleep on the bed, really loves to sleep on the bed now.
Oh, yeah. That's why.
That explains it.
Cats and dogs can sense the signal, and then they seek it out. And, We noticed that ourselves, my wife and I, with our dogs. We had little doggy mattresses set up in the laundry room. We don't let them in the house. But before the energy cleaner, they would go outside and be outside all day. With the energy cleaner, they would go out for an hour or so, come in, and get a little energy cleaner nap for 10 or 15 minutes and go back out again, in and out all day long, as they sought the comfort of that signal. We've had women who had stopped menstruating start menstruating again. It's an amazing thing. It works. That's the bottom line. It works.
Even guys, it's so good that even guys who don't menstruate.
Actually, a lot of women like to buy the energy cleaner for their husbands just before St. Valentine's Day because it does really have a very positive impact on a man's libido. Very positive. If you haven't noticed, you will.
I'm not going to comment on anything about
my... I'm not asking you to comment.
No, I'm not. No. Wouldn't be prudent. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
The wives get a smile on their face when they find us out. They love it.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah.
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, that's the mind mush of Joe Biden. Yeah,
you know the thing.
Eric Gonzalez on fire.
What an embarrassment he is to our whole country running for president.
You'd think, and this is just me. I don't know. When you look at Lynn Wood, Sidney Powell, Jay and Jordan Sekulow, and others have all looked at Biden and looked at Bernie Sanders. And, you know, it doesn't it say something to you Look, I don't like Bernie Sanders. I don't like him. I would not.
He's an outright communist.
Right.
What's there to like?
I mean, and I wouldn't pee on him if he's on fire. Okay. But anyway, in the American voting process, if you get your vote stolen by this chicanery with election fraud, I ain't liking that either. I like that less than anything else. I don't care if a communist is running in America. The American people should have their say without regard to what's, you know.
Absolutely, they should.
So it bothers me, and it should bother all of the fans of Bernie. Oh, the big fans of Bernie, that he could get paid off so readily with a house on the lake, Lake Champlain. Oh, Bernie, just take it easy, and we'll take care of you. But isn't that what happened? I'm asking. I don't know. Isn't that? I mean, it's just to me.
Well, Bernie's been. I think Bernie is fishing for a cabinet level position himself.
Oh boy.
Or maybe an ambassadorship. Maybe be ambassador to Moscow, or Paris, or someplace like that.
Ambassadorship. He couldn't be an ambassador to his friggin' neighbor. Although apparently he's got some likability factor, which I can't explain, but that's me. So what are you doing? Because of the Chinese Party, Communist Party virus, I got to ask you this. Our governor here, Governor Wolf and Cousin It, okay, the man, woman, I'm not sure what it is. If it's a man, if it's a woman, if it's a floor polish, I'm just not sure. I don't know if it's got a dangling participle or not. Look, I don't care to know, but one thing is certain. It is a science denier, Cousin It, and Wolf is a tyrant issuing illegal and unconstitutional edicts that we can't have people over. Well, I'm going to have one hell of a gathering on Thanksgiving. No masks, no social distancing, and all my guests are going to be armed, except for the children. What are you doing?
I'll be enjoying Thanksgiving dinner with my family.
Yeah, good.
There's not going to be any concern about social distancing or wearing masks. It's not going to be a concern, or how many guests. And, of course, in Missouri, we have a lot of freedom. Some of the cities, like St. Louis City, St. Louis County, Kansas City, have Democratic leaders that are trying to impose draconian measures with limited success. But I'm not paying attention to them. That's simply the way it is.
I don't know whether you saw this. I don't have the video available, but it's on my personal Twitter account. Hagman PI is my personal Twitter account. I'm just saying where to find it, but it's a video of a sheriff in Buffalo, New York, and God bless this restaurant owner. Okay. It is apparently a restaurant. Sheriff, Erie County sheriff, who obviously did not want to be there, along with somebody from the Department of Health, walking in because somebody, and this is America today, somebody called them to complain that here it is right here. Can we play that? Can we play that with sound or no? Okay. Hey, John, you got to see this, okay? Because this speaks to every American. Go ahead.
These people actually work for their money and they don't want to lose their livelihood. I've lost friends, I've lost family who've killed themselves. I've seen clients die because they've lost their livelihood.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know you are, and I'm just I'm asking for you to guys have some compassion for the people that have lost everything.
We do have compassion for people who
Okay, well, you need to go have compassion out in the parking lot. But this is private property.
This is
private property. This is private property.
Yes, it is.
It's private property.
I can't argue that.
Listen, man, this is private property. They're not wanted here. So do your jobs.
Well, her job is...
Your job is to remove people that are not wanted here.
You have a
problem. We're wanted here. They're not.
She's hiding her name.
I'm not. It's
right there.
It's my name. You can see my name.
They're just doing their job.
There we go.
You should all be wearing masks.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Don't worry about my health. My health isn't your concern.
You're meant to be wearing a mask. It's a
government. Okay, well, then write me up.
It's the law.
Okay, then take me to jail.
It's not the law.
Then take me to jail.
Show me the law. Show me the law, please. Show me the law.
Massive disobedience.
You guys have to leave. You have to leave.
Right now you're trespassing without a warrant.
You need massive disobedience.
You're trespassing.
We're not trespassing.
You're trespassing.
It doesn't matter. We have a right to be here.
Get a warrant, dude. Go get a warrant.
Bring a warrant.
Go get a warrant.
Yes, you do.
Come back with a warrant or
you
leave.
Don't write the law.
No, go on your phone outside. Go on your phone outside.
I would really like it if you
where did you hear a report? Who reported it? Who reported it? Who reported it?
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, it's anonymous, right? It's anonymous.
But it's a legitimate complaint.
You need to know your accuser. You need to know.
You
cannot be anonymous.
You got to go get a warrant.
It's not the health department.
You got to go get a warrant. You don't get to
violate
the policies. You don't get to violate the Constitution. It does not matter. You don't circumvent or subvert the Constitution.
Okay, Meth, you need to leave.
Now that's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. That is the way to do it. And enough of being pussies and wusses out there. Get a backbone and tell them to get the hell off your lawn. Get off my lawn. All right. What do you think of that, John?
Well, I personally would have handled it differently, but it had a good outcome. I like the outcome.
The sheriff
looked a bit uncomfortable being there, quite frankly.
Yeah, he knew. He knows. I mean, come on. Come on, man. You know. He knows.
Man.
I'm not sure what the issue was. Was the issue being open at all? Was that the issue?
Above capacity, you know, because you're only at 25%. And mask issues, social distancing. Pick one. It was an anonymous caller. And because the snitches are these sniveling little cowards that hide behind a friggin' keyboard and, you know, want to turn in a neighbor because, oh, and you don't think it's going to happen when things get really bad? I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And those closest to you will do you, okay? I'm telling you.
Snitches get stitches.
Well, it's going to get worse before it gets better, Doug, unfortunately. These jurisdictions where there's the Democrats in charge, cities and states, it will get worse before it gets better.
It doesn't have to, does it? Because if everyone, okay, I know you might have handled it differently. I might have had the one sheriff handcuff the other sheriff, and then the other sheriff handcuff the woman, and the woman handcuff the big sheriff, and then push them out the door. You know, arrest yourselves for trespassing. Because at that point they were trespassing, and that's what I believe, because they're not enforcing a law. There's by code enforcement. Well, show me the code. There is no code. It's a, it's one of these, you know, it's, I can see it. But see, blood will be shed when people don't do it that way. That's my view.
Right. If there was science behind what was going on, it'd be different. If you sneeze or cough, that virus will travel 90 feet. The mask will not stop a 1 micron particle. It can't, and it won't.
Yeah.
Your eyeballs, which are both vulnerable as well, the mucous membranes, your eyes, that 1 micron particle can certainly get in the unprotected eyeballs. So it's all smoke and mirrors. It has no basis in reality or science. The 6 foot social distancing, and I did confirm this personally, came from a 14-year-old high school freshman female whose father worked for the government and the health department somehow. And he thought, well, this is a great idea. It makes sense. So that became the whole nationwide social distancing thing. The brilliant, well-documented ideas of a 14-year-old high school freshman.
Well, bless her heart.
Bless her heart. I know she meant well, but we don't change our entire economy and culture for something that has no basis in science, which it doesn't. There's no basis in science for that. These viruses will travel 90 feet from a sneeze or a cough. That basically means the whole country has to be shut down. You can't have people separated by 90 feet and do anything that I'm aware of. Maybe toss a football back and forth.
Well,
but that's,
yeah, I don't know, you know, John. See, this year, because of the virus, we're going to have Thanksgiving. It's going to be a special Thanksgiving. We're going to have it over Zoom. And we're going to cook together over Zoom.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, I think the majority of families will be ignoring those orders. Families will have normal get-togethers. I expect my family get-together to be a normal one with normal activities and people present and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And these edicts, be damned. We're going to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And the edicts can just take a hike as far as I'm concerned.
You know, the one thing I love about you, John, is number one, you're always constant. All right, so I know... John Moore, if somebody came up to me and said, well, John Moore said something absurd, okay, you know, whatever it might be, and I could automatically say, well, yeah, right, okay. No. So you're always constant. And the second thing is you've got your roots, you're based in really 1950s America, and that's not a compliment. When I say that, the values that we have, the integrity, and you know what? That's when men were men, women were women, and there was no 27 pronouns, and there was no discussion otherwise. That's the stock. You're like that stalwart guy. And I thank you for being that, because we need that in this time, in this day and age. We got so many green-haired, made-up, pierced and tatted morons out there, street urchins. It just makes me want to puke these guys that come in, in their skinny jeans, as Eric the Tech calls them. I don't know. Well, I don't even know where I was headed with that, but it's all right. I'm getting
Deck. Doug, I'll take that as a compliment. That is,
it is a compliment.
Yeah, well, it's the generation I grew up in. My mother, when I was a small child, she would not go grocery shopping unless she wore a dress and gloves and a hat just to go grocery shopping. But she was a lady.
Yeah.
Now, that changed as the years progressed, and she became more casual in her attire like other people. But that was the way it was in the early 50s for most American women most of the time. Not all, but many. Those times, you know, the men who, when you went to get gasoline at the service station, where service technically took place, the men pumping the gas wore a uniform with a tie and a hat. And they would pump the gas for you. They would check your oil, wash your windshield, and thank you for buying 10 gallons of gas for $1,
exactly.
10 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen. When I started buying gas myself, it had raised to the astronomical price of 15, 16 cents a gallon when I started buying gasoline on my own. But when I was a boy, earlier than that, I saw what they called gas wars, where you would pay sometimes 8 or 9 cents a gallon and get a nice little glass dish or something, some kind of trinket as a premium for buying gasoline at 8 or 9 cents a gallon.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you this story real quick. Yeah, I got to say, it's funny. When I was a young, very young child, my dad gave me a quarter and a gallon gas can. And he said, go down, because he was mowing the lawn. And he said, walk down to the gas station. It wasn't a grocery store. It was a gas station. And get a gallon of gas. And he gave me a quarter. I said, okay. So I walked down. I put the can down. And I looked at the guy. Actually, he was our neighbor. Anyway, I said, I need 25 cents worth of gas. And he looked at me and said, boy, I hope you brought more cans than that for 25 cents, obviously.
Right.
And yeah.
Now, over the weekend, I was in a town in Missouri where gasoline at the least expensive station was $1.38 a gallon, by the way. I'm serious.
Really?
$1.38 a gallon. The company is Cenex, C-E-N-E-X, Charlie Echo November Echo X-Ray, Cenex in Springfield, Missouri.
I'm going to have to drive down there and get some gas. Because up here it's $2, two something up here. What is it?
I haven't seen fuel for $2 a gallon for, I can't tell you, not this year, maybe the year before or two.
Well, come on up here. We got plenty of, how much is it up here? Two something, Eric, the tech? I don't know, my
like
man.
$2.30 right now.
Yeah, $2 and $2.29 or something like that.
Well, that, if you're driving very much, that adds up really quick.
Sure it does.
It does. And for a family where the breadwinner commutes, it's a big part of their budget is to allow for fuel costs. It adds up really quick. You can't get, you have no choice. Some things you can delay or put off, but if you're going to work every day, you can't delay or put off putting fuel in your vehicle. That's not possible.
You know, but again, this is what we're looking at. This, to me, this ideological divide that exists in America today, these communist-loving slugs out there versus what you and hopefully me, what we represent. And that's what America once was. When we had prayer in schools, we were allowed to pray publicly, in Jesus' name publicly. When we had the respect enough to dress like adults, not with our pants hanging down so the crack of our ass could be seen.
Well, I see men, adult men and women both wearing pajama bottoms.
There you go.
In public.
And you, 2 weeks ago you said, you know, T-shirts, that's underwear. And you're right.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is. T-shirts are, I don't care what color or what kind of fancy words or pictures it may have, it doesn't change the fact that it's underwear. I love Dan Bongino, but he wears nothing but T-shirts unless he's interviewing the president. Then he puts on a coat and tie when he's interviewing the president.
I'm glad for that. And I like Dan. And you know, look, to me, okay.
It's a generational thing, though. He's not part of our generation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and it's Eric the
tech. I open doors for women, Doug. Car doors and building doors. I open doors for women. And occasionally for men, too, if it happens to work out that way. And I've had some of these liberal females, especially lawyers, they're the worst. Female lawyers, young, under 30 years old female lawyers, they're the worst. They get visibly upset and angry if I hold a door open for her. It's amazing.
And
if I know they're going to get that way, I'll do it anyway just to get them going. So,
well, you know, I guess when you see a crowd of pink hat wearing women, oh, I'm a nasty woman. Remember that? Nasty woman.
You're talking about the inauguration in 2016?
Yeah. You know, it kind of gives you an idea of what we're dealing with here.
Well, we have thousands of women willing to make fools of themselves in front of national television. That was what was going on there. Dressing up like women, like female genitalia with these complex costumes that they made.
And even some guys were there. Or some,
oh, yeah.
I guess there were men. Look, I don't know any. I don't want to anymore. It's very difficult. I don't want to offend, you know, I really don't want to offend anyone. I call him a guy and it's actually a woman or a woman that's actually a guy. I don't know. So, I don't know. It's, all right. So, Eric the tech said, just stop, Doug. Stop. You know, stop it. Shh, you're digging yourself a hole. All right. Look, we got about 7 minutes left is all. I can't believe how time flies with John Moore, thelibertyman.com. By the way, energy cleaners on sale. Go there. You'll be glad you did. Go there because look at me. Bada boom. I tell you what, I got more energy than I've had in a long time.
All right.
I'm not making any claims. I'm just saying this is just me. There's only one difference. And then, you know. All right, so whatever you want to talk about.
And in many investigations, you look at two things, what's the same and what's different.
That's right.
And that's helped me in many, many times over the decades, what's the same and what's different.
Yep, exactly. So I'm going to turn it over to you with any closing thoughts, because this is a heavy time, you know.
Well, Doug, let's begin with a premise. The Republic is in peril. The Republic is at a crossroads. I do not use the word democracy except in very pejorative terms. The purpose of the Electoral College is to prevent us from becoming a democracy. That is its purpose. This crossroads involving this election will determine what direction our republic goes in from here forward. That's how important this is. I cannot emphasize how strongly this election means, the outcome of this election means to our republic. President Trump won this by a landslide, a massive historical landslide. That is yet to be proven, but it will be proven. Once it is, we're not out of the woods. I remember being a boy, and it would be late, and I'd be in the woods. And when I could get near the edge of the woods, I could see it was much brighter, because in the summertime in these woods, it gets dark really early compared to outside the woods. We're not out of the woods yet. People need to be prepared spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Spiritually means pray. Pray for our our president, his family. Pray for our republic. Emotionally, prepare yourself for warfare. Hopefully warfare will not happen. We will have warfare in these major cities. That seems to be a given. And physically, that means work on your physical fitness, the weaponry that you have, other tools that you might need to be part of the militia to help your county sheriff, your mayor, your governor defend our Constitution, defend our liberty. It may come down to that. I don't know. But if you're prepared, you're far better off than you're not prepared. So do these things. Do them now, whatever days and weeks we have left before December 15th, the day after the Electoral College votes. Things may or may not happen then, but being focused on that date is a good thing. It gives you a specific date to focus on, to get ready for. Hopefully it won't be necessary. Prayer is powerful, Doug. Prayer works. There's been, prayer meets the scientific method of being observable, testable, and repeatable. And that's happened many times, the power of prayer, especially when it comes to people's health and people in hospitals. Prayer does work. So that's the most important thing you can do is prayer. Pray without ceasing. And nearly as important is to form alliances with people of like mind. Get to know your county sheriff. If you don't know your county sheriff, get to know that county sheriff. Get to know your mayor. Let them know that, especially if they're a conservative who would defend the Constitution, otherwise I wouldn't bother. But if they are a conservative who will defend the Constitution, not necessarily Republican or Democrat, Democrats can defend the Constitution also. That if they're willing to defend the Constitution publicly, let them know privately that you're willing to do that also. And maybe join the sheriff's auxiliary, or the police auxiliary, or the fire department auxiliary. They'll be involved in this too, to be part of helping your community to be safe if things go south. And now is the time to do it. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Now is the time to do it while we have what appears to be the luxury of time. That luxury of time will evaporate. These couple of weeks will pass very quickly, less than 3 weeks before December 15th. That will happen so fast, you make your head spin, Doug. So pay attention to detail. One thing that stood me good in my entire adult life, my drill sergeant in basic training at Fort Underwood, 1967, he said, young trooper, pay attention to detail. And that's proven to be a good advice in every part of my life, my professional life, my private life, my health, everything.
And trust your gut, too.
And trust your gut. That's in my book.
Yep.
Trust your gut. If you get a feeling about something good or bad, trust that, because that's your subconscious telling you something that's really important that may save your life. Mm-hmm. You're walking into a situation where the hair on the back of your head stands up. Trust that. That's God's way of giving you a chance to survive this thing and either exit the place or get ready to defend your life. That's what God's trying to tell you right there, right then.
Well, amen. Well, John, we've reached the end of the program. I want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. Next week, I'll tell you this on air as opposed to off air. Next week, we're not going to be, we're not going to be on because Eric the Tech is going to have to be doing some patronly duties. My daughter is going to be delivering a baby girl, bringing a baby girl into this world. So we're not going to be doing our regular programs at all. So we'll see you.
We'll be back 2 weeks from today.
That's right. We will.
Okay.
We will.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, my friend. May God bless
you. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you,
brother.
It was
fun. Look forward to 2 weeks from today. And this, when that newborn baby wraps her little tiny little fingers around your pinky, she will have you right where she wants you.
She already does, believe me.
Good luck, Grandpa.
Thanks. All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Go there. Bookmark that website. Fabulous. Fabulous website. Fabulous radio show. Fabulous man, John Moore. Good night.